welcome to Sundays with the Bayang Bishop. I'm Bishop Jan Biederstedt of the Worldwide Anglican Church. And I'm going to bring you stories from the mission field where I've been a missionary over in Africa and Asia for 22 years, along with some Christian news and the feature, Ask the Bishop. Any questions you got about theology, send them in to WKJC at WKJC.com. And now let's get into today's program.
And by Living Waters Apostolic Ministries, with worship services at 11 a.m. on Sundays at 725 Newman Street in East Tawas, where the inerrant Word of God is taught to one and all, the one God, the one Father, one faith, and one baptism is open to all. And now, here's This Sunday Morning with Bishop Biederstedt.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Sundays with the Bionic Bishop. This is Archbishop Jan Biederstedt of the Worldwide Anglican Church, and I'm coming to you today from Mbale, Uganda, which is located in the eastern part of the country near the border with Kenya. And we're in the shadow of Mount Elgon, which is a 14,000-foot dormant volcano that's certainly a major part of the landscape here. It dominates the skyline. And today is our special program we have with Easter hymns to celebrate that he has risen today. But I got thinking, have you ever seen a grand reopening advertised at a local cemetery? Probably not. In fact, usually they don't even advertise a grand opening of a cemetery, even though that's what they do on a regular basis, is open the graves. But a reopening means somehow they had to reopen that grave and sell it all over again. That it was now available, it had become empty. Well, that's really what the Easter story is about, is the grand reopening. It is about Jesus rising from the dead. Not such an unusual concept. Other religions have a similar thought. As I've traveled, especially in Hinduism, I've seen this where there's been rebirth of their gods after they've died and suddenly come back to life again. But ours is a whole lot different, because usually when those gods suffer and die, they die in some kind of a battle, and then they come back later. Our God chose to lay down his life. And he did it for a reason, not because he was in some battle, not because he got in a fight with a demon or some other god, but rather was a way to take the sin out of the world and save a fallen race. That was what he came to do. And when we took at the Passover, the Holy Week, it was estimated that there was approximately 2, maybe 3 million people were in Jerusalem at that time. People had come there. If we look ahead to the time of Nero when he was emperor, that's before the rebellion by the Jews against Rome around 68 AD, they estimated about 2.7 million descended upon the city, coming from all over the Roman Empire. All the Jews traveling back to the homeland for the Passover, to celebrate the Paschal Lamb. But this particular one, they came back to celebrate with the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And he came predicting his death. He was put to death. Very likely a large percentage of the population saw him die. It was then a very public location. All public executions were very public, because they want to make it known, you don't mess up in our town. This is what happens to you. And Jesus was there between two thieves. And he is buried in a tomb, which was unusual for that, for a convicted criminal, because that's what he was convicted as, a criminal, even though he had done nothing wrong. Where we have Joseph of Arimathea comes and claims the body, and he and Nicodemus, they go and they hastily prepare it because the Passover is coming. And then on Sunday morning, the stone rolls away and Jesus walks out. The tomb, which had been borrowed, is not ready for its original occupant, because the one who borrowed it has left. He's risen from the grave. It would have been talk of the town. Everybody would have been talking about what happened. We saw Mary was there first and saw that Jesus was not there, and then turned around and saw when he came to her. First, she saw that tomb was empty. So did Peter and John. They saw it was empty. They encountered an angel who says, he's not here. He's risen from the dead. And everything he had told them, everything Jesus had told them came true. He fulfilled so much of prophecy that to argue against it is rather vain. It wasn't that there was just one witness or two, but there would be hundreds, including at one time Paul writes to us, says that there was over 500 present when they saw Jesus. A large number that day the tomb was totally empty. Inside was not a body stolen, because the grave clothes were there, but the grave clothes, well, they were folded up. It tells us in the scriptures that they were folded. Now, if you're going to steal a body, you just kind of run out the door with it. You don't take the time, especially when you knew there was a cohort of Roman soldiers guarding it. It's been sealed with the seal of the Roman prefector over there saying, you don't break this under penalty, probably penalty of death. But the seal was broken, not by man, but by God. And the stone, which was a large round like a millstone that was in a rolling track that would cover the door, because these graves were usually carved into the rock, was open and left open for everyone to look in and see, there's no one here. What you seek has left, and he's gone home to the Lord to do what he has promised to do, to be at the right hand of the Father, and he will then judge the living and the dead, as we proclaim in the Apostles' Creed. These were the things that we celebrate, because too many people are witnesses to deny this as truth. Yes, Islam denies that it happened. The Gnostics denied what has happened. But by the time they wrote their messages, it was already hundreds of years after the time of Christ. But during the time, people knew that tomb was empty. Did they believe or not believe was up to them. But the rate that church would grow in that first century demanded that people make a decision. As Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. He was the one. He was God in the flesh. And today we celebrate as Easter, the living God, the one who took to lay down his life and took it back up because he could do it. Oh, I know. So well, if God was dead, how could he come back to life? The wrong question. You're thinking like human beings, not the power of God, who is beyond all things, who controls all miracles, and who is a God of life. After all, our God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus pointed out, our God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And he lives today. And this is Bishop Jan Biederstedt asking you to enjoy the rest of the program with our music. And remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Happy Easter.
the grave he rose.
Did you know that the world's best coffee comes from Nepal? It is the smoothest, richest coffee grown in the Himalayas, shade-grown, rich in flavor, and extremely low in acid. Those of us with acid reflux can drink this all day, not a problem. Absolutely the most delicious coffee. It's available if you go to RenaissanceOutreachMinistries.com, but it's wonderful coffee and the best you'll ever drink. Remember, Nepal coffee is the best.
mount of Calvary, the sweetest sound this sinner's ever known, the song of your redeeming Son, whose wondrous love will never end.
When we think about spices, we think about the spice islands of Indonesia. But do you realize that India and Bangladesh and Nepal are some of the biggest spice producers in the world? And through Renaissance Outreach Ministries, we have from Nepal, from the Himalayas, all kinds of spices, from the most potent cinnamons and nutmegs to masalas, the garlic that is beyond imagination of how aromatic and strong it is. We use just a little bit. We have it available at Renaissance Outreach Ministries. And in this area, you can also buy it at Klino's Market in East Tawas. And so check it out. You'll not find spice better anywhere else. Go to our website, www.renaissanceoutreachministries.com.
White as snow.
Thank you for joining us this morning as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. Each year as a Christian, I get more and more excited when Easter comes. I love Christmas, but you know what? I love Easter more because that baby born in the manger becomes the one who saves the world. It's without him, without this day, without the crucifixion and resurrection, we would have nothing. We would be simply just following a teacher, much like what other religions do. But our teacher breaks the bonds of death, which is about something that every one of us will face. All of us, every day, are moving one day closer to the day we'll pass from this world to the next. But as my Lord lives, we know we shall live too. Those who die in Christ will live in Christ. This is Bishop Jan Biederstedt of the Worldwide Anglican Church, reminding you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. He has risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've spent together as we've learned about Christianity around the world on the mission field, some Christian news, some interesting people, as well as some stories. And don't forget, we'll be back on next week at 7:30. Tell your friends and come and join us. This is Bishop Jan Biederstadt from Turner, Michigan, wishing you a blessed week.